This first prayer request is for the family of Ryan Spurl, who was taken to his final resting place this weekend, way too young. He's a young man that graduated from Cordell. I believe he's on the fire department somewhere, maybe at Fort Cobb, I'm not sure. But he passed away due to a car accident.
Ooh.
Yeah, young man. Then we want to pray for J.W. Little. We've prayed for him a number of times in the last few weeks, but he's really had a challenge this weekend. It's kind of a long story, a prayer request. Mm-hmm. He lives way out in the country, and he's going through some confusion. He's going through cancer treatments. He's by himself, and he's just can't keep his phone on, so the kids can't get a hold of him, and he needs to be in town. So they're looking at maybe trying to get him in the hospital for a few days to try to get his meds lined out, mm-hmm. trying to find a place in Cheyenne where he's close to family, friends, kids that can watch after him. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that's kind of a kind of the short of the full story.
That's okay. Yeah. So, Lord, we lift the family of Ryan Spurl to you, God. We just thank you, Lord, that your word declares, Lord, we believe and trust in your truth, in your word. Your word declares that you're not a man that you could lie. Father, we trust by faith because your word says that you're close to those who are a broken and contrite spirit. Pray, God, that you would surround them. Father, that you would lift them up, that you would encourage them and reveal to them who you are as a father in the midst of this situation. I pray that their ears and eyes would be open, Lord, to the revelation of your goodness, God, to your will, God. Give them a glimpse into your hand at work in their lives. Pray that you would cause your children to surround them, God, to take care of them, to love them, Lord. Just to shelter them, God, with your grace and mercy and love and peace during this time, Lord. Pray, God, over J.W. Little and his family. Father God, we pray for wisdom, God, and direction for his family, Lord. We pray, God, that you would cause his mind to be agreeable with a plan moving forward, God, that would be best for him and best for the whole family, Lord. We speak health and wellness to him, God, and we just reclaim his mind in Jesus' name, that he would become lucid and alive and vibrant in his mind again, Lord. Return that, Father, we pray to him, God, and return his health. We come against cancer in Jesus' name. It's just another name that has to bow to the name and authority of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you're at work in this situation, Lord. Give them comfort and direction and peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we start reading these other sponsors, I would like for you to share with our listeners where your church is located, what time your services are.
Okay. Yeah, we're at 1424 South Simpson here in Elk City. If you know where the Lincoln Teen Center is, we're one block west and one block south of the Lincoln Teen Center. And we have services at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Love to have you if you want to come. We're a place of people, purpose, and passion, and we're just a little old family.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, church again at 6 on Sunday evening, and then they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday night at 6 and Bible study on Thursday night at 7. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless your heart. The Refuge Church is non-denominational at 18410 Highway 152 Sayre. That's 3 miles west of the traffic light in downtown Sayre. They have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call Tammy Bailey, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, we like to call her, 729-0956. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269. or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordyce and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Pastor Jason Wilhelm is bringing us a great lesson today on being the spitting image of your daddy. I like it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want to be like my father. Amen. The good news is that we have everything in us to be that guy. So we've been talking about the attributes as God as a father. And these things are also, they reside in us. And we want to stay in the environment of the Father. That's what Jesus did. He showed them the Father. He said, "Have I been with you so long and you haven't seen the Father?" Mm-hmm. Everywhere and everything that Jesus said and did was showing people the Father. That's what we're called to do. That's God is, he's in us. Greater is he that's in me. So we're going through these attributes. We've been through three of them. God's loving, God's good, God's perfect. And number four, God is a teacher. He's a mentor. He's that guy that's going to pour everything into you that you need to get through this life. He wants to be your mentor. That's what a good daddy does. He can't help it. He wants to be a mentor to you, someone you look up to, someone you admire, someone who can speak into you, someone who can teach you. And in that John 14:26, the chapter we've been reading out of, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you, will teach you all things." That is the life and presence of God in your life, to be your mentor, to teach you and show you and guide you and lead you. God is a teacher. He can't help it. He wants to pass on to you everything that's in his heart, everything that he wants to do, everything that he has done, his nature, all of it. He wants to pass that on to you to be an example of that on this planet. That's what the life of Jesus, if you look at it, that's what he was doing. He said, "Look, everything I say is from the Father. Everything I do is what I've seen him do. I'm not doing anything that's from me. I'm doing it from what I've seen with the Father." Jesus was constantly in the environment of the Father, allowing the DNA of God and his kingdom to flow through him. That's what God wants to do. He's a teacher. Number five, God's patient. He's never in a hurry. I don't know if you've realized it, that some of the trouble that you've got yourself into in life, God sometimes just really isn't in much of a hurry to get you out of it. And, you know, I have a good friend of mine. I've said that we had a meeting of some sort, and I showed up just a little late, which I hate. And I said, "Man, I'm sorry. I was late, Rich." And Rich said, "Hey, there's no need to be in a hurry. We've got eternity." And see, God doesn't live in the span of time. He lives outside. I mean, he's here in time because we're here in time. But God lives in eternity. He's not worried about time. He's not in any big hurry. That goes back to that perfection thing. He's patient because he's perfect. He knows exactly what needs to happen to get you where you need to be. Another Andy Taylorism: if God's got your heart, he'll get your feet where they're supposed to be. God's patient. He will get you there. And he's not in a super big hurry. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God is a patient father. I think me as a daddy, that might be one of my weakest traits, is having patience with my kids. But I've gotten lots better at it I'm not a champion at it, but because of Christ in me, because of trying to stay in that environment of the Father, that patience thing is working. God's patient with you. He's going to be patient with you, so it's going to be okay wherever you're at right now in life. I promise you, he's at work. It's going on, and he's patient with you. Number six, God is a giver. Again, he cannot help it. He's a giver. We talked about that, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Listen, he didn't just give. You remember the story of the widow who gave like three mites or whatever, and Jesus said, I'm telling you, she gave more than those who gave abundantly, because they gave a lot of money out of their riches, but it didn't put a dent in their tank, but she gave everything she had. That's the heart of the Father. He's a giver. He gave up the everything. Christ Jesus, his son, it says that there's nothing that's made that was not made without him. He was the spoken logos, the word of God, the living word of God that created all things. God gave that up for you. He can't help it. He's a giver. He gives everything he has all the time, every day on your behalf. God is a giver. James 1:17 quoted this one earlier. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Luke 12:32, again, this is one of my favorites. You'll hear it probably five times every time I preach a message. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you his everything, his kingdom. Matthew 7:11, and this is where Jesus was talking to him about asking something from the Father. And he said, listen, if your earthly fathers, if you ask them for bread, they won't give you a stone. If you ask them for a fish, they're not going to give you a snake. And if your earthly fathers aren't as good as your heavenly Father, how much more will he bless you with the things that you ask him for? God is a giver, and he can't help it. That's just who he is. Number seven, he is truth. He is truth. We just read the passage where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Titus 1:2, God is not a man that he could lie. I made this statement earlier, but I'm telling you this. God is the only truth that there is. Amen. There is no other truth. He is the one God. He is a Father who always tells truth. And if we believe, now listen, we're looking at these attributes of God as a Father, and we've got to learn to relate to him in that way by staying in an environment of his presence. You can't miss it, if you will. You can't miss it. But God always tells truth. Everything that he says is truth. Everything that he does is truth. If we believe anything other than what he says, we believe a lie. It doesn't matter what it is. You look at the life of Jesus. Jesus, again, said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. Jesus was saying, I stay in an environment of his presence. I allow who he is to flow through me. I live in truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the pathway to the Father. You look at my life and live in this environment like I live, because I live inside of you. It is truth. Don't believe anything that God doesn't say. If we make decisions today based on anything other than the truth, the word of God, we're making decisions based on a lie. God is truth. He can't help it. It's just who he is. Number eight, God is kind. God is kind. He ain't mean. He's not a mean God. He's not a big policeman in the sky with a billy club waiting to whop you over the head because you get out of line. That's not who he is as a father. God's kind. He is kind. Titus 3:4-5. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Excuse me. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy, that when the kindness of God, God is kind. He's not looking to try to catch you in a snare. He ain't set no trap out there for you. God is kind toward you. His loving kindness never ceases toward you because he's a father and he can't help but be kind to his children. Don't believe anything else. God is kind. Number 9, God is merciful. He is a merciful father. Merciful father. Deuteronomy 4:31. Love the scripture. Deuteronomy 4:31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you. God is a God of mercy. You know what I'm saying? He's not a God that wants to punish you. And you know, I'm gonna talk about him as a consuming fire in a minute, but the truth is this: God is not out to punish you. God is out for your good all the time. Romans 8:28 says it. All the time he's working on your behalf for your good. He's merciful. And listen, he will allow your circumstances to train you. A good daddy knows when to do that. But he is merciful. James 2:13 says that mercy triumphs over judgment. His mercy, there is now, therefore, no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment toward you from the Father, only mercy. His mercy triumphs over judgment. God has shown mercy to us in that he gave his Son to take our place in judgment. Ah, thank you, Father. What a good daddy. He found out a way to buy you out of your mess and to turn your mess into a message of the kingdom from a Father who is merciful and good. God is merciful. He can't help it. It's who he is. He's a father. Number 10, and here it goes. He is a consuming fire. And he said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now we're getting into that God in heaven on the throne at the judgment seat with people lined up, and he's sending this one to hell and this one here and that one there. No, it's not what you think. God is a consuming fire. Let me tell you about that. God loves you so much that everything that is not of him, he will burn up and leave only you, the pure thing that he created. That's what it means for God to be a consuming fire. He is removing everything that is not him. He's removing everything. Now listen, you get something cauterized, burned off, a mole, whatever, you know, God's not sometimes very good at using anesthetic on that. But listen, he's getting rid of it. He's not going to put more on you than you can handle. But God's a consuming fire. He's not a consuming fire toward you. He's a consuming fire toward the things that are connected to you because we put ourselves in an environment that's outside of who the Father is. Sometimes things get on us, you know. I remember years ago we used to go swimming in some ponds and get leeches on us. And really, that's a good way to get them off. Take a lighter and get to them, and they'll come off. Sometimes God uses a blowtorch, not a lighter. But listen, he does it to remove impurities in your life. It's because he loves you. When your children were young and they got out of line and you give them a spanking, did you give them a spanking because you hated them? Did you give them a spanking because you just wanted to see them punished? No, you wanted them to understand and learn that that's not the way to do things and to make them a more productive, better citizen, whatever it was. I told my folks this yesterday. You know, most of the times I tried never to punish my children in anger. I tried to always cool off and not do that. But if most of the times I was ever angry at my children, and this goes back to that genetics thing, it's because I seen the traits that I don't like about me coming out in them, you know. But God is a consuming fire, but it's on your behalf. It's not to kill you. It's not to destroy you. It is to increase the quality of your life. God's a consuming fire. He's a father. He wants nothing but the best for his kids. Number 11, he's a defender and protector. God's a defender and protector. One of my other all-time favorite scriptures, Tyler sang Dennis Jernigan's song, When the Night is Falling, comes from this scripture, one of my favorite songs too, but Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God is with you, a mighty warrior who saves you. He is your protector. He is your defender, to the point that he takes so much delight in you that he no longer will push you away, but he will rejoice over you in singing and dancing. God celebrates you and surrounds you with his protection. He is a mighty warrior in your midst who saves you. God is your defender. He's your refuge. He's your rock. He's your fortress. God is your defender. The word declares that he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You don't have to worry about it. It's like water off a duck's back. God's got your back. He will protect you if we'll just trust him in the environment of his presence and allow him to be the thing that comes and flows through you. Number 12, he's a sacrificer. Hey, what good parent isn't a sacrificer, right, for their kids? God is the ultimate father of sacrifice. And coming back, third time I've used this scripture, John 3:16. He sacrificed his everything for you. God sacrifices for you so that you can have the best, most abundant quality life with him as his kid and him as your father, to reign with him for eternity. It's here. It's now. It's for you. God gave it up so that you could get there. He's a sacrificer. Number 13, he's a hard worker. God is a hard worker. He is relentless in his pursuit of goodness for your life. Romans 8:28. It's another one I quote all the time. But we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He's always, always, never stops, always at work on your behalf for your good, no matter what's going on in your life. He's a hard worker, and he doesn't stop. He's relentless in his pursuit of you. Even when you wander off, remember when the shepherd lost one of the 99. Hey, the sheep belonged to the shepherd. It wasn't a sinner who didn't have the shepherd. It was someone who belonged to the shepherd. It was a Christian, someone who was saved, that wandered off from the fold. It wasn't someone who wasn't saved. Come on. If he was one of the shepherd's sheep, then he belonged. Mm-hmm. When he wandered off, he left the 99 to go after the one. He is relentless in his pursuit and his efforts on your behalf. God will not stop. He is a hard-working father. He wants his kids to have the best. 14, he's a provider. He's a provider. What does the word say? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. God is a provider. He's a good daddy. He's going to take care of you. And if we'll stay in that mode of his environment, in relationship with him, and allow that to happen in our lives, it's a faith choice to do. It's a faith choice to do. The word Jesus said, if you'll seek that first, everything else will be taken care of. You know why? Because in the Father's house, he takes care of his own. He is a provider on your behalf. Believe it and don't give that thought away. It is the truth. And again, if you believe something other than the truth, you've believed a lie. God's your provider. I promise you he is. It's not your job. It's not your bank account. He is your resource. And when we begin to realize that, believe that, and know that, then you'll see things change as you experience him as the father that he is. Number 15, this is the last one. He's a blesser. He can't help it. He wants you to be blessed beyond measure. You know, I read that scripture earlier, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I want to bless your socks off, is what he's telling you. I'm a blesser. And the word says, I believe it's in Colossians, that he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He cannot help it. He is a good daddy. He wants to bless you coming and bless you going. He don't want you to ever walk out from under that blessing. So all of these 15 things, and there are many, 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 many more. It's countless. But all of these 15 things that his love, his goodness, he's perfect, he's a teacher and mentor, he's patient, he's a giver, he is the truth, he's kind and merciful, he's a consuming fire, he's your defender and protector, he's a sacrificer on your behalf, he's a hard worker, he's a provider, and he's a blesser. All of that, that's the nature of a father, of a perfect father. He is the ultimate perfect father. And that exists in the environment of relationship with him. That DNA is in you. It's who he is. It's who he is. But what he wants you to know that's so important about it, it's who he wants you to be. And because it's in you, it's in you. If we'll remain in the right environment, it'll happen. It'll flow. If we'll remain in that relational connection with him as a father, not as God, but as a father, those things will begin to happen in you. Listen, if you hang out with your daddy, you're going to be just like him. You're going to be the spitting image of your daddy, of your father. The only thing that can skew that is the environment you hang out in. God's calling you home to hang out with him today and every day so that this stuff will begin to happen to you. We've got to learn to relate to God as father in this way. Engage him and see those attributes. And become, know him on a deeper level. Let those attributes flow through you. If we try to relate to him as just God, we'll always color who he is because of that perception of God and not Father. Jesus called him Father. He told you to call him Father. Get to know him as Father. Get to know him as Daddy because that's who he is. He's good and he can't help it. And then when you get that going on, go out and show them the Father, show them the Father, show them the Father. That's what Jesus did all of his days, showed them the Father.
Can you tell me right offhand where the scripture is that he will bless you coming and going?
No, okay. I can't, but I bet I will.
Well, yeah, somebody can Google it before we get out. I always post all the scriptures.
You'll be blessed everything. Coming in, blessed going out. Yeah, I cannot remember off the top of my head, okay. Even.
All right. A great, great lesson that you brought us today. So many good points. I would just say to you that if you missed any part of this, go back and watch it on Facebook. If you have friends that don't have Facebook, send them to our website, therockchristianmusic.com, and then click on the Hour of Power and click on Monday. What'd you find, Monica?
Numbers 6:24-26.
Yeah, that was one. I didn't have that written down. It just popped in there. So.
Well, of course, I've lost my page. Will you pray to pray?
Absolutely. While we have a conversation, yeah, absolutely. Lord, we thank you for being a father. God, we celebrate you as Daddy today, God. We thank you for all that you are, for everything that you are in our lives, over our lives. Lord, we want to be just like you. We want to be just like you as our Daddy. And we know, God, that you've given us that DNA. You've given us all those genetics that you have come and made your home in my life and our lives, Lord. Let that flow. We choose to stay in the environment of your presence, God, to be relationally connected with you, to be getting to know you more, Lord, to be yielding in obedience through faith, God, and allowing you to live that life through us. Praise you, God, for your goodness. Praise you, Lord, for our future in you, for the hope you've given us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. As I said, a great lesson that you've brought us today. We appreciate you taking time to come in and listen to this and be taught. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Jason, have a blessed day. We'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.